about.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
And when Usher walked down and touched that casket, what can you say?
Yeah.
When Larry King died, they didn't just cancel the show. They got Pierce Morgan to come in and do his show, and that way, Larry lives on.
Thanks, Anderson.
You are unbelievable.
I'm unbelievable. What about your racist mess? Thinking a grown man is illiterate. That's the subtle racism of lowered expectations. Bing Crosby said that.
No, Bill Cosby said that.
That's racist.
And now, some pudding?
Our feature presentation.
I'm going to miss Tracy Morgan as Tracy Jordan on 30 Rock in a couple of episodes. There's not many left.
I was just thinking that, too.
He's been so good.
One of the all-time great characters.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning.
How crazy is the Manti Te'o story?
Crazy.
Is it one of the weirdest things you've ever seen? Like, were you just watching yesterday going, how can this get any weirder? Every minute you watch this story, you have more questions about how it could have happened and who knew what. I mean, it's just so bizarre. It's so complicated, though, that I worry of my ability to be able to summarize what happened.
Well, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Let's let Kevin do it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Manti Te'o, for folks who don't follow college football, is one of the stars of the game. He was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. He's a linebacker for the University of Notre Dame. They had an undefeated season. They lost badly in the Rose Bowl game. The national championship game to Alabama. But he has been just this huge inspirational figure because of the loss in his life throughout the season. His grandmother, who he's very close to, passed away, I guess, of cancer, right, Lisa? She had cancer.
Yes.
And then it was revealed within 6 hours of grandma dying that his girlfriend of 3 years had died as well. She had been in a serious car accident, but also died of cancer. So a bad string of luck for the girlfriend. And everybody was saying, wow, how amazing is it that he's having this season? And he was talking about how that was inspiring him. And, you know, there were pictures of him pointing up to the sky. And he was tweeting to his dead girlfriend, I know you're there and I'll see you again.
They have Twitter in heaven?
It just brought tears to everybody's eyes, this young man. And, you know, a lot of people felt that it really helped make him, you know, besides the fact he's a great player, it helped him on the road to maybe winning the Heisman Trophy because he was such an inspirational young man.
And people who don't watch a lot of college football, maybe that's the kind of thing they latch onto and go, wow, what a story. I'm going to follow
just
this.
Like Tebow with the virginity and the Christianity. It becomes bigger than sports because now you've got something that everybody's interested in, right? So Deadspin.com, which is a terrific website, which generally I find it posts comedy stuff, really, more than anything.
About sports, but yeah.
About sports.
Comedy.
I don't remember a ton of serious journalism on Deadspin. It's usually just entertainment. But they got a tip that there was something fishy about this dead girlfriend. So they started doing some investigating, starting with just Googling her. And the only reference they could find to this dead girlfriend on the entire internet were stories about the University of Notre Dame and how she died and inspired her boyfriend. There was no record whatsoever of her ever living. And then they started poking around to all the funeral homes in the area where she supposedly died. Nobody had ever heard about her. She was apparently a Stanford graduate or a student. They contacted the school. There was no record of her being there. And the conclusion that has been come to now is that she never existed. She's not even a real person. There was no girlfriend.
He made the whole thing up.
He seems to be claiming, and he hasn't spoken much except to the university, is that he was the victim of an elaborate hoax. He was dating someone that he met online that he never met in person and had talked to somebody on the phone who claimed to be that person and had spent a lot of time, you know, thinking that this person was real and it was a girlfriend. And it was a hoax on him, and he's the victim here.
And supposedly the way I heard it phrased was there was some internet chatter that they found that these two people were laughing about how they'd pulled this one over on him. The girls from Torrance that was involved, that I guess the girl that he talked to on the phone. And the guy's also from Southern California.
He even got a phone call from someone claiming to know the girl, and after she was dead, telling Manti that she wasn't dead. So who the hell knows what's going on here? But it's bizarre and it's crazy, and so many questions come up, not the least of which is, did everyone in the media week after week after week just perpetuate this story without doing any original research on it?
I think that's a given.
Was the entire thing just on the basis of one guy saying something to one guy, and then all of a sudden it just became fact and it was never followed up on by anyone?
You know how lazy a lot of the press is. If one place prints something, then they can just run with it. They don't care. They don't want to do more research.
They don't need another source.
No,
right?
That's it. That's all they need.
At least I heard that it started in the University of Notre Dame's college newspaper. That was the first place where it just was published and then just took off from there, and everybody else accepted it as fact.
Oh, okay.
So what's going to happen now? I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean, if he was a part of this,
yeah.
That's
Does that affect, I mean, will he never be drafted by the NFL now, for instance? I mean, that's one of the questions that you think about.
I don't know. I mean, if he can play like he can play.
He can play. He can sure play.
I guess you go, well, we're going to have to weigh the benefits against the fact that he's crazy.
he's a crazy mixed up liar.
I mean, would the school do something?
I don't know that there's anything anyone can do.
It's a tremendous embarrassment to the school.
Of course,
that's for sure.
If he was
in on it, I mean, he is not a good representative of Notre Dame. That's
right.
But let's say
he wasn't in on it. What happens to the people that did this?
Yeah, again,
what laws have they broken exactly?
I don't think any.
No idea.
But if you haven't met somebody, she's not your girlfriend.
Right.
I don't care how much you talk to her online.
I agree.
I don't know, Kevin. I have lots of girlfriends.
If you haven't met them in person once, they're not your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Some reports say that they met after a 2009 football game and that they locked eyes and exchanged phone numbers and stuff, but who knows where that came from. I mean, again, this is early in the investigation. This whole thing is less than 24 hours old, so there's a lot to be uncovered, but it is a bizarre story. I'll tell you who's happy. Lance Armstrong. Nobody's talking about Lance Armstrong anymore.
No kidding.
Just knocked that right off the front page.
Yeah, liar.
Exactly. Well, a couple things before we move on. We got to revisit the phone topic of the person you thought you were dating online turned out not to be what everything you thought.
Or alive.
You know, catfish situation, you know, where people – you think that all these things and all these pictures and all these stories from this person you haven't met yet are true, and then you find out it's, you know, some dude.
Right.
That's thing A. And thing B is, and I was thinking about this, would we rather that Beer Mug died or that he never existed? What would make you feel better, Kevin?
I'd have to go with never existed.
Yeah, I think so too.
How dare you?
Because I mean, although death would give me great pleasure, if he never existed, then I wouldn't have had all these years of misery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Never existed.
I'm confused.
Lisa?
Yeah. I'm very confused.
Never existed or died?
Don't answer, Lisa.
I don't want to play your reindeer games.
Anyway, we are going to talk to the P, Petros Papadakis, who knows more about college football than anyone I've ever met. And he will, I'm sure, have a lot to say about this story because he, I'm sure, had been following it pretty closely before yesterday, you know, and was a victim of it as well.
Sure.
So he's got to be ticked. So that's all coming up.
Speaking of which, that's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Let's take a look at what else is coming up.
Okay.
There's a lot of tragedy here. There's a lot of sorrow here.
There's a lot of crazy here. We're going to talk to Petros, as Bean mentioned, about that story. We're also going to talk to the real Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The real Arnold.
This is Ralph doing a wacky voice in the other room?
No.
Oh.
This is actually Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
Who's in this movie, The Last Stand, I believe the name of it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to him today. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. We talk to him, once a week.
Okay.
We have Muse tickets coming up. As a matter of fact, in a half hour, just after 6 a.m., we're going to give you your first chance to win tickets to see Muse.
Great live band.
Second best, yeah. Behind Rage Against the Machine. We also have, did I say Boss Rutan yet?
No.
And we have comedian Jim Jefferies in the studio.
Awesome.
Oh, he's so funny.
Telling us about a brand new TV show that he has. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I get a lot of off-air support from my coworkers. I just want to publicly acknowledge that and
thank
you all.
Well, you go
really
fishing for it. Say, you're welcome. Oh, did you ever think about me if I didn't exist? You're just begging for people to say, hell yeah.
How about Muse in concert at Staples Center sold out? How about that for you right now? If you're a Muse fan, you can call at 1-800-520-1067. You just need to know Muse's music. That's all. Just be familiar with their music and you'll have a leg up on this game. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get you on the air in about 10 minutes. You can win your tickets to see Muse. And we got it for you several times today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
You have to know their music?
Yes.
That's good, one way to put it.
Good tip. Good tip.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about anything.
You don't want to talk about anything?
No.
Well, what's wrong?
Because I'm angry.
What are you mad about?
I'm angry and I'm sad.
All right, let me see. Jessica Simpson?
No. Right. It's even worse. It's all part of the same problem, but this is even worse.
All right.
Something to do with The Bachelor?
No.
American Idol?
Because they... did anybody watch that last night?
No.
I didn't catch any of it. The Jessica Simpson thing is like a threat.
Right.
Right? That was depressing me because they want to give her a sitcom. And that is a horrible idea for someone who loves television, the idea that that could be possible. It was depressing me. But this is worse because this is real and this actually happened. It's not a threat. It's an actual assault.
Wow. I don't know. I have no guess.
Sci-Fi announced yesterday they're canceling Alphas.
Oh.
Loved that show.
I did too.
Loved that show. It was announced yesterday that there will be no more Alphas. The second season that we got was the last one. And that finale, you remember, they were all EMP'd in that train station. Remember, all just lying there on the ground except for Gary. They were all just laying there. We didn't know, are they dead? Are they alive? Do they have their powers? Do they not have their powers?
It was a good cliffhanger.
We don't know, and now we'll never know. Sci-fi.
Let's just assume they're all dead then if the show's over.
I would rather not.
Right.
Because I like those
not
characters.
What you want.
Yeah. David Strathairn was the star and Malik Yoba. So it was a great cast and just a good show. And I already miss it. So there.
Speaking of sci-fi, have you guys checked out Continuum yet?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I think you would like it, Ralph.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah, it's good. It's an interesting premise. It's our friend Rachel Nichols is the star of this. The cigarette-smoking man is in it, and some other people you recognize from other sci-fi shows. But, yeah, it's real good.
I mentioned yesterday that there was interest on behalf of Caesar's Palace to ink Britney Spears to a two-year, $200 million deal.
Yeah.
To be an artist in residency, if you will, at their casino and to perform for their patrons.
Mm-hmm.
I now have to make a correction to that statement. We all said, that's ridiculous. Nobody would pay that for Britney Spears, who's obviously on the other side of the mountain when it comes to her career.
Liar!
It's ridiculous. Too much money. No one would pay that. Well, I need to make a correction. Apparently, Caesars is just one of three Las Vegas casinos that is now currently in a bidding war to get Britney Spears to perform at their hotel.
Really?
And that the $200 million two-year deal that was offered by Caesars may just be the first stage of a much larger deal. That one of the other two casinos may give her even more money for 2 years to perform in the same capacity.
Wow. So those $600 tickets we were speculating about might end up being the cheap seats.
That's right, yeah. So how we all scoffed and thought it was ridiculous, it turns out there may be even more money coming her way.
For yep.
Same amount.
Would you gamble that much money on somebody that seems as unstable as Britney Spears? I mean, I'm sure they have some kind of clause.
I know she's got a history about being a loon and stuff, but I don't remember a lot of stories of her, like, not showing up for things.
But she's going to be in Las Vegas.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. Come on.
That's like doing one of these shows in Las Vegas with Kevin.
Sort of, yeah.
Have him show up as the show's starting, eating a fat burger, staring at you from across the room, not recognizing you. You say, why isn't Kevin doing the show?
Who are
I don't
those
know.
Guys?
He's just over there. He's just leaning on his elbows, just watching us eating a fat burger.
I didn't have any option that morning.
Yeah.
And the timing of this is not getting Britney at the best of her life either, because she's just broken up with her longtime boyfriend that we felt was kind of a stabilizing influence to kind of keep her out of trouble. Now he's not around anymore, so we don't know where she's heading next.
So they're saying $100 million a year for a multi-year deal is probably just the basement,
starting
just the first
point.
Floor.
Wow!
Elevator's going up. Apparently, that's what Celine was making. $100 million a year when she was at Caesars. So
wow!
Craziness.
It seems impossible.
You guys, a fan like I am of the British actor Dominic Cooper?
I don't know who he is.
He let me see what you would know something about him. Did you see Captain America?
Yeah.
He played Howard Stark, Tony Stark's father, in the 40s flashback sequence. He was made him the shield and stuff and everything. He's famous for doing a movie. The name escapes me now. The Devil's Double or something like that, where he played one of the sons of...
Yeah, that was awesome. Obama.
Hussein. Hussein. That's one of Hussein's sons and Hussein's son's bodyguard, who was surgically altered to look exactly like him, so he could be used as a duplicate, as a decoy. Right.
That was a good movie. I watched it.
Dominic played both of those roles as well. So he's a brilliant actor. It's just been announced that he has been cast in a new 4-part TV movie about the life and legend of James Bond's creator, Ian Fleming.
Oh, no kidding.
Fleming was actually a British naval intelligence agent, also during World War II, and used a lot of his experiences as a secret agent in World War II. He wasn't really a secret agent. He was out there in the field. He did mostly analytical stuff, but used a lot of his experience during the Second World War to give him inspiration for the James Bond character. Now, Fleming himself also was a womanizer and liked to booze, so a lot of those characteristics were transferred to his character as well. But had a fascinating life, and now they're making a 4-part biographical film about Ian Fleming, and Dominic Cooper has been cast as Ian Fleming.
So interesting.
That should be entertaining. And this doesn't surprise me at all, and I like to believe that it's true. I heard you guys talking about that Notre Dame hoax was going on there. And a lot of it's going to come down to what I think a lot of what people believe about the story will be indicative of what kind of people they are.
Okay.
I'm saying it's almost like a litmus test. It's a Rorschach test of who you are about how you feel about the story initially, until all the facts come in. But as of right now, some people are saying, oh, I feel so sorry for that guy. He was completely duped. He was hoaxed. And other people are saying, oh, he's a lying, scheming bastard who was trying to manipulate the Heisman vote and get his stock raised, you know? So I think what you see in that story says more about you than it does about the story at this point. That's how I feel about this story. And I am a cynical bastard and choose this to be true.
All right.
Star Magazine has a story this week where they say that Kim Kardashian's pregnancy was all carefully orchestrated by Kim and her mom, Chris. Sources tell the magazine that they came up with the idea and mapped out Kim getting pregnant to help move her career to the next level and think that this will be her biggest payday ever, having Kanye West's child.
I don't doubt that for one second.
I don't either. It sounds absolutely, it's just as horribly manipulative and cynical as that sounds right in line with everything I know about that family.
Yep.
So, interesting, Arnold. Take a look if you get a chance. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, it's a good day for Bean. Betty White is 91 years old today.
There it
91.
Is. There it is. Says Bean.
It's a Bean clapping with one hand right there. James Earl Jones is 82. Maury Povich celebrates his 74th birthday. Muhammad Ali is 71. Susanna Hoffs, lead singer of the Bengals, and of course, wife of Jay Roach, very talented producer and director. She is 54 years old today. Actor Jim Carrey is 51. Michelle Obama, our first lady, is 49 years old. Naveen Andrews, who played Lost's
Iranian guy?
Yeah.
Him. Yeah. What's his name?
I can't remember.
Was it Saeed?
Saeed! God bless you, sir. 44 years old. Kid Rock is 42. And my good friend and super talented director, DJ Caruso, who directed I'm Number 4 and Disturbia and Eagle Eye, but most importantly, 2 for the Money. He is 48.
He's not very good at casting, but everything else.
He is excellent at casting.
Everything else he's great at.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
MMA legend Boss Rutten on the program today, and one of the funniest guys we know, Jim Jeffries. Very funny comedian. He's got a new TV show that you're going to love. That's on the way. Dr. Drew as well. Right now, though, should we take care of some business, give away some Muse tickets?
Yes, we should.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have shows. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Show. You go.
The shows are going to be
what
at...
What we're doing... I'm sorry.
Staples Center next week. By the way, we're very new to this job, but we are going to get the rhythm of it worked out. You are really running out of time to get these tickets, of course, so we're giving them away all week here on K-Rock, and we're looking for Muse fans right now. If you know Muse music, although, in this case, maybe not done by Muse, check this out. You'll see what we mean.
Good morning, and welcome to Kevin and Bean's Classical Music, where you need only to identify the Muse song played by the string quartet.
Not so hard.
Okay.
No, not so hard at all. I mean, Muse has great melodies. If you know their music, you'll probably have a pretty good shot of this. We're going to play a string quartet version of a Muse song. You just tell us what the title of that song is. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to see the show. Who's our first contestant?
Our first is Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show. Are you ready for to play classical music?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand we're going to be playing classical versions of Muse?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Hence the name. Okay, here's your song. Tell us what it is.
All right, what say you, Anthony?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one, I think.
We'd appreciate a guess, even if you don't know.
If you don't know, pick a Muse song.
Yeah, pick one of your favorites.
Just say a name.
Of a Muse song.
Do you know any Muse song?
Any Muse song.
What is it called? Rise Up? Is that what it's called?
How unbelievably close.
Could we go to the judges on that
one? The judges say no.
The judges say, I'm sorry, it's actually called Uprising, but thanks for playing.
We couldn't have taken Rise Up, right?
No.
That's not close enough.
No. I don't think so. I mean, if you're a Muse fan, you know the name of the song is Uprising.
Right.
Next up is Erica on line two joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready for some classical music?
Jeez.
Well said.
I'm embarrassed.
All right, Erica, here you go. Here's your song. All right, what song is that?
Supermassive Black Hole.
Nicely done. Hold on, you go in the drawing?
I also recommend renting a video by the same name, by the way. You will not be disappointed.
Not the same.
You will be disappointed.
Alex is next on line three. Alex, thanks. Ooh.
Hey, Kevin, Lisa.
What are you, on the moon?
You in outer space? Yeah. What's happening here?
Totally. I'm driving through the 241 in Orange County.
Oh, okay. All
right. Well, good luck. I hope you hear this okay on a cell phone. Again, it's another Muse song played by a string quartet. Tell us the title of this song.
What's that song?
Time is running out.
Nicely done. You hold on. We'll put you in the drawing.
That may still be my favorite Muse song, by the way. I know it's kind of old school, but I love that one. All right, we got time for a couple more, maybe. How about Jenny on line four? Jenny, welcome to classical music.
Thank you very much.
Might have been too much, Bean. Might have been a little overdue.
Hello, corn.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Hello, corn. That's not the first time Lisa said that. All right, here's your song.
I do feel like I'm watching. Yes, that's correct. Wow.
Nicely done.
I got to say, Ralph, I love the Joe Schmo Show. Super funny.
He's not in the room, but he will certainly appreciate that. Thank you.
You.
All right, hold on.
I was going to say with that last one, it sounds like we're watching Downton Abbey or something. But in fact, it's actually a Muse song. All right, let's do one more. Let's see if Ryan can join the list of those in the market for the tickets for the sold-out show at Staples Center. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's happening? Thanks, guys.
It's classical music. Here's your song.
Nice.
All right, name that song.
Starlight.
Look at that. Starlight.
Done. I will be
chasing. Very impressive. 4 out of 5 knew their Muse songs. Erica, Alex, Jenny, Ryan, all in the drawing. Only one will win the tickets to the sold-out Muse show at Staples Center. Lisa, you get to pick.
All right. I have Erica.
Remember when Lisa used to pick people that weren't in the drawing? Erica.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You won tickets to see Muse? Thanks for playing classical music.
No.
And that was a scintillating edition of classical music. Thank you for...
Actor Arnold Schwarzenegger joins us on the program next hour. By the way, how unfortunate for this dude. He's already got a honked up name. And then he shares the name of that guy who used to be in politics. How confusing must that have been everywhere he went? People would be like, Schwarzenegger, you're the governor guy? No, I'm an actor guy.
That's the same guy.
Just weird. Anyway, we'll talk to him about his new movie called The Last Stand. Petros Papadakis joins us to talk about the crazy story out of the University of Notre Dame and Boss Rutan. That's a big 7 o'clock hour straight ahead here on K-Rock.
First, though, it's time for the Real Oh Bad Animal Voices. We have way too many animal stories.
Well, we haven't been calling lately. I got to be honest. The stories continue to crop up all over the world. People we want to talk to, animals we want to talk to, but we don't make the calls that often.
We have Willie the foul-mouthed cockatoo. We have the Brazilian penis snake. We have Gina, the chimp that's addicted to human porn.
Okay.
We have the New Zealand driving dogs. We have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Irwin.
The Brazilian wandering spider. Kirsten Howell III from Rich Cats of Instagram. Vicious British underground mice, killer Asian tiger mosquitoes, and Harvey Dent, the two-faced kid.
Wow. All right. Let's
do it. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it.
Go. Good luck to everybody.
All right.
Been so long since we spun the wheel, I don't even remember how the intro goes. Come on, Kirsten. I want to talk to the rich cat from Instagram.
Oh, it's the New Zealand driving dogs.
Oh, yeah!
Well, now that's interesting, too. I heard about these guys. This is kind of crazy.
This is real. This exists.
It's true.
They taught dogs to drive a car. Listen to this news report out of New Zealand.
No, your eyes don't deceive you. That really is a dog behind the wheel of a car. It's the culmination of several months of intensive training for three special pooches in New Zealand. It all began with the basics, like getting used to the gear stick. I assume it's an automatic. Sitting in the driving position and learning to steer. After 5 weeks training, it was time for the next step. Doggy go-kart.
Great.
And once that was mastered, it was on to the real thing. A brave trainer's in the passenger seat just in case Fido gets distracted by a passing rabbit. Having said that, it hasn't all been smooth driving.
We had a couple of days ago, the car was going too fast, the train nearly got run over, the car, you know, the braking, the dogs, you know, but no, we've got it all here now. So no excuses. We've got to get in there and show that dogs can drive.
Really? You had some problems with dogs driving?
We have problems with people driving.
That's right.
So.
Again, this isn't a photo trickery. This isn't just a dog sitting in a seat. The dog starts the car, puts its foot on the brake, puts the car into gear, puts it into drive, puts the paws on the steering wheel, and goes off down the track. I mean, this is real, people. Dogs are driving. And we wanted to find out more about the story, so we asked producer Dave to line us up the trainer of these driving dogs in New Zealand. We have Mark Vett on the line with us right now. Mr. Vett, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir. Oh. Yeah, is this Mark?
No. Mark's not here. What do you want?
Who's this, please?
I'm Monty.
Monty?
Yeah.
We were looking for Mark to talk.
Get out of the goddamn way!
Monty, are you a dog?
Yes, I'm a dog.
You should not be taking calls while you're driving.
What kind of question is that? I'm driving, aren't I? Hey, seriously. I got someplace to go, all right? I'm out of kibble. Goddamn so, New Zealand drivers.
You don't have a New Zealand accent. Where are you from, Monty?
I'm from New Zealand, but I'm a schnauzer.
Ah.
So I should have a German accent, I guess. They kind of cancel each other out.
I see. I got you. Okay. Well,
You know what? I'm a dog who drives, and you're asking me about my accent.
That's a good point.
Why don't you go right to hell?
Okay.
Hey,
all right.
You
sound like you have road rage.
I have road rage, but God damn it. You people don't know how to drive.
True.
That's I've been driving for like 4 months. I'm better than some of you people.
Yeah. Why is it so important that dogs learn to drive, Monty?
Well, because we need to go places.
Right.
Why is it important for people to drive?
Well, because people need to go places.
That's
I guess
what I'm saying. I got to go. I'm out of kibble, for example. I'm out of kibble. Now I can wait around, for one of you two-legged douchebags to get off your fat asses and buy me some food.
Right.
Or I can just go on down to Rusty's Pet Stop and pick some up myself.
You have a wallet? You have money as well?
Well, it's hard to drive without a license, isn't it? Where do you keep your license? In your wallet. Are you people morons? Seriously, I will bite your ass.
Monty, careful, man. Careful. Do you wear pants to put your wallet in? Because it sounds like now it's just getting confusing.
No, I have a fanny pack.
Of course you do.
I don't wear pants.
How many dogs...
I drive a car, and you're asking me about pants.
That's true.
All right, let's talk
you
about...
You are the worst journalist in the world.
Well, that's been established.
The light is green. I am colorblind, and I can tell the light is green.
Let's talk about driving that car. Was it difficult for you to learn? It does seem like it's kind of out of the skill set of most dogs.
I can lick myself. Anything's possible. You know what I'm saying? More than you can do.
But not while you drive, right?
No, I really shouldn't be on the cell phone either. This is probably, I'm breaking some sort of law here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, it's hard to talk on the cell phone and drive at the same time, I got to tell you. I'll give that to you people. You managed to do that pretty well.
All right.
But I can hang my head out the window and get the breeze in my face while I'm driving. I never see you people doing that. You're missing out. This is awesome! Oh, I can smell everything!
Hey, Monty is having quite a time.
And I don't mean that's a compliment the way I usually do when I want to bang abroad. Get out of my way!
Well, it sounds like we better let you get back to it. Sounds like you got a busy afternoon ahead of you.
Yeah, guys, if you visit New Zealand, do not drive down here. It's a nightmare.
Right.
Don't hug any wombats.
That's another
for homos.
That's a good tip. One more spoon of cough
syrup now. I can second that. I've had a cold for a while. That cough syrup.
Too much freaking cough syrup.
That's some good stuff
right
there.
Love cough syrup so much.
Coffee.
Bottle a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, that's a good saying.
But you're cutting it with a large amount of vodka, too.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. That's not helping you.
I don't think syrup counts as cough syrup, Kevin.
Hey, the Kevin and Bean Show is on your radio. It is
Thursday
morning right now. We'll talk to former UFC heavyweight champion Boss Rutten coming up right after the top of the hour here on Carrick. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
When you're on the island, Gilligan, it's just every day starts to run into each other.
Monday to Sunday?
Just out there picking coconuts, looking at the same beach every morning. I guess you forgot what day it is.
Rice.
Get a calendar.
Okay.
Open up a blog.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some tickets to a very cool event? This is the red carpet world premiere of Hansel and Gretel.
Yay!
Can't wait.
Boy, this movie looks great. So it's going to be on January the 24th at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you don't have to come down. I'm going to give out the tickets right now. I've got 5 pairs of passes to
attend. Yeah, but where can I get them? Well, I mean, where is there...
Well, you hang up the phone, and then you call back at 1-800-520-1067, and the first 5 callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes for Hansel and Gretel.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Just go down there. Just go down to the Grauman's Chinese Theater on January 24th, and that's where the premiere is going to be.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
I don't think there's a Marriott near that. I know there's a Lowe's. There's a Lowe's around the corner, and then, of course, there's the Roosevelt. And the W in West.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Thanks,
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not going to be there. It's
a movie.
Hansel and Gretel.
It's a movie.
Hansel and Gretel in theaters everywhere Friday, January
25th. How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, you know?
Well, it's a premiere. First of all, it's not a festival.
It's quite a walk.
It's in Hollywood at Grauman's Chinese Theater, and Palm Desert
is... And when did the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
You should probably be there early to pick up your tickets. Yeah, usually around 6 o'clock is when we'll call open.
The Hoff loves to rock.
Yeah, well, that we do know.
The Hoff sounds confused about this whole thing.
I don't think he understands, but call now and win your tickets. Here's the thing about my boy Al Pacino, my good friend and co-star Al Pacino.
Hey, you never told us how his show was that you saw over the holidays.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I went to see Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway starring Al Pacino. And also Bobby Cannavale and John C. McGinley was in it.
Oh, what a cast.
It is an amazing cast. And it was one of my favorite theater experiences.
Really? You stayed awake for the whole thing?
Freaking brilliant.
No, that was me that fell asleep.
Kevin was the one who fell asleep in the middle of what is some people call the greatest American play ever, Death of a Salesman. There was Kevin during the matinee.
We were up all night drinking.
Yeah, I know.
But it was cold.
It was a matinee. It wasn't like
it was 3 in the afternoon.
We went like to the 8 o'clock show. It was right in the middle of the day.
I needed a nap.
Anyway, Pacino was amazing. Glengarry Glen Ross, yeah. And
what's the story? What's Pacino doing now?
Well, here's the thing about my good friend and
co-star, we got it.
Al Pacino.
You guys are friends.
Did I mention that I know Al?
You've said that three times.
We've worked together.
Four. Yeah.
A film called Two for the Money, of course. We spent a long time together on that set. He's getting to be known as the guy who does the biopics now. He's like biopic guy. First of all, he did that amazing thing on HBO about Dr. Kevorkian. Did you see that when he was in
sure.
there?
Yeah.
Dr. Jack. Death, Jack.
Yeah.
And then he got tapped to do Phil Spector. Also for HBO, he's going
right.
to do the story about Phil Spector murdering that broad and going into
I could his, see him looking
absolutely.
So much like
great
Phil Spector.
But there was a story that broke recently within the past couple of years, and that when everyone saw the pictures of the guy, they said, Pacino should play that guy too.
Who could that be? Lance Armstrong?
Lance Armstrong. Penn State football coach Joe Paterno.
Ah.
If you looked at photos of Joe Paterno while they were covering that story, and you looked at him with pictures of him as Jack Kevorkian, you're like, not a lot, a little makeup change here or there, and you could have him play Paterno. Well, it's going to happen. Just announced today that Al Pacino is joining forces once again with his buddy Brian De Palma. Two worked together twice before on Carlito's Way and, of course, the classic Scarface. They are teaming up to do Happy Valley, a feature film about controversial Penn State football coach Joe Paterno. They just optioned the film rights to the best-selling book, Paterno, story of Joe's life and all his ups and downs there in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania for the Penn State football program. And they are currently in discussions with screenwriter David McKenna, who wrote American History X and Blow, to adapt the book for the screen. So
all right.
those guys are partnering up, and they're going to bring us Paterno to the big screen. It's excellent casting. I think it should be a great film. I like De Palma, too. He's had a spotty career, but he's capable of really good things. Megan Fox. Oh, geez, I'm out of time already.
Not for Megan Fox. Keep going.
All right, I'll save the Megan Fox.
Nope, keep going.
She's attractive.
Yes.
She can do a lot of things. She can act, right?
Right.
More or less. She can look pretty.
Very much so.
You know what else she can do?
What?
Speak in tongues.
What? Speak in tongues like at church?
Yes. When she grew up, she was a Pentecost. She was in a Pentecostal church in Tennessee.
Huh.
And that's where she grew up attending church. And she said often there would be so much energy in the room that words would just start coming out of her mouth. She would start to speak in tongues. She said people can't comprehend the language because it's what's spoken in heaven and only God understands it.
Hey.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Same with me.
Yes, that's what Kevin's problem is. It's not that Kevin's dumb. He's speaking in tongues. He's speaking the language of heaven.
Right. They get it in heaven. They're laughing.
We need to change the moment with Kevin to Kevin in heaven.
That's
is what
right.
it needs to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Megan says that's the language they speak in heaven.
How about that?
Yeah.
So hot and crazy.
All righty then. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kid Rock is 42 years old today. Zooey Deschanel from New Girl.
She's the best.
She's so adorable. 33 years old. Naveen Andrews from Lost turns 44. Michelle Obama, our first lady, is 49. Jim Carrey, 51. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals, 54 years old. Muhammad Ali, former heavyweight boxing champion. And one time the most famous man on the planet, 71 years old today. Maury Povich is 74. James Earl Jones is 82. Betty White is 91. And film director DJ Caruso, who did The Salton Sea, I Am Number 4, Disturbia, and of course Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino. Did I ever tell you about the fact that Al Pacino
yeah,
and I
mentioned that.
Worked
yeah,
together
did.
And were pals?
That.
Did I ever?
And by work together, I mean he walked past you twice.
How dare you, sir?
I saw it.
You did not see it.
I saw it.
Oh, I gotta tell you, you're a hell of an actor, he said to me. DJ Caruso is 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Unbelievable hour for you right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The former governor of the great state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, back to acting in a new film called The Last Stand. He'll join us later on. And Petros Papadakis will talk about that crazy Montiteo.
Not sure.
That's his name. Talk about the crazy Notre Dame hoax story in just a few minutes. That's all coming up. Plus, Baz Rutten, who joins us, MMA legend Baz Rutten, on the phone with us. Haven't talked to Baz in a couple of weeks. How you doing, man?
You automatically always say, I'm doing great, but it's the worst horrible night. I just had neck surgery on Monday, and, man, my nerves are starting to kick butt again, and apparently it's very painful.
Ooh. I realized last night. You had surgery on Monday.
surgery on Monday. Three discs they fused together, and it was a success because they say it jumped from underneath, under 30%, all the way back to up to 100%.
Wow, fantastic!
So, have you just been walking around in tons of pain for a long, long time, boss?
No, you know they have epidural for that. You know, you go in every like three weeks, and they shoot cortisones next to the nerve roots, and that takes the pain away. But you know, I have a blockage somewhere, and that nerve is bouncing against that blockage nonstop, and it's so draining. I mean, I think I took 8 sleeping pills last night. It was crazy,
boss. I don't mean to insult you, but shouldn't somebody else be talking to us about the Fit Expo?
No, of course not. Because, I don't sound fit, right?
Rob, I'm just saying, you didn't sleep at all last night. You just had neck surgery.
It's unbelievable, and I'm still doing it now. You know why? Because it's a really great event. There's a lot of fun stuff going on there, and I truly believe that people should come and check it out.
Well, let me tell people some of the details. If you want to meet Boss in person, by the way, he and his neck brace are going to be doing a Q&A in Area H of the Los Angeles Convention Center. That's going to be on Saturday and Sunday, just after noon. The event is happening. The Fit Expo event is at fitexpo.com. It's happening all weekend long at the LA Convention Center. You can buy tickets for just $20, by the way, for single day. Weekend package for 30 days. What sorts of things are going on down there at the Fit Expo besides you being there?
Oh, there's a lot, you know. There's the fitness competition, bodybuilding, jiu-jitsu, they have arm wrestling, CrossFit, MMA even is there now. Jump rope, man, there's so many things you can do. And of course, also figure is what they call it. That's the ladies, you know, athletes. They're not bodybuilders, but they're really well-shaped.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's something new, Battle of the Bar. I'm actually very curious what that's going to be. I mean, you see people upside down standing on a bar and then do push-ups. I go, wow, that's pretty
okay.
Gnarly. I can't do that right now.
Yeah, I couldn't do that if you locked me in a room with no other tasks for a year. I'll never be able to do that. Tito Ortiz is going to be there. I mean, all sorts of special guests and demonstrations of the whole thing. So it's for people who are interested in fitness and also people who love MMA like you, right, boss?
That's exactly it. And I'm standing there also. I invented this. I was an asthma patient a long time ago. I think I talked to you about it on the show the last time I was there. It's a lung training device. You put it in your mouth while you train, and you make your lungs stronger. And I'm standing there as well, together with the Step Out, of course, Step Out magazine, which is a mixed martial arts magazine.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. Tell us what's going on in the world of MMA with Strikeforce going under.
Oh, yeah. Now it's we have to find out who's going to cross over to the UFC. There's some guys there, like Josh Barnett, always had like a personal thing with Dana White, so I don't think he's going to go over. You know, but I think a bunch of these guys, Melendez, there's already talk about him, Luke Rockhold, of course. Of course, Ronda Rousey is there already.
And yes, she is.
If she beats Carmouche, I think they have to let Cyborg in there because that will be her next opponent. So let's hope. Yeah, that everybody's going to find a home.
Did you agree with the decision to fold Strikeforce under? I mean, it's been very popular for a long time, or is it somewhat unnecessary now that you know there's already a UFC? Do we really need another one?
You know, I think it would have been great. You know, it's always good, even when it's owned by the same organization. But then you have different belts. You know, you can unify belts. You can start doing things like they do in boxing. You know, so
right.
I thought it was a great course. You know, and the women had a home, but thankfully you have now Invicta FC. That's an all women show. That's a crazy show. You got to check that one out also. I think the next one is in April. And these ladies, man, they come to fight.
If I have to, I will.
I'll go see anything that's built as an all women show. Believe me, you don't have to twist my arm for that. So, boss, what's your recovery going to be like in terms of you getting back in the gym? How far out is that for you with what's going on with your neck?
Oh, I, you know, I have the one thing I learned that normally when a doctor said, okay, take a month off, I took a week off.
Right.
And now I do double. Now when they say take a month, I take 2 months
off. Is that right? Yeah.
Because you're getting old. So the neck brace I heard yesterday for a month. Who has a neck brace for a month? Is that crazy or what?
Wow.
You know,
it does seem like. How old are you, boss?
47.
And do you see a lot of guys in your sport about your age with similar problems? Is just this an occupational hazard for you?
Yeah, it really is. I've been a maniac in training all this, you know. And I still was a kid when I was 42. And this actually happened because I thought I was invincible at a TV show, Lights Out. Remember that boxing show they had?
Yeah, yeah.
My buddy was the lead in that, Holt McKellany. And I had a fight scene, a cage fight scene underground with him. And he said, no, boss cannot beat me. There's something needs to be happening. I said, what about if I spike myself, then I'm dizzy, and then you hit me. So spiking means I slide at the top of my head, downwards.
Right.
Down, face plant into the ground.
And how did that work out?
And then, you know what? I said, I'm only going to do it twice, and that's when I realized I lost my power.
Oh.
I've never done that. Because it's pushed my nerves.
Oh, that's rough.
Then it's over. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I hope you have a full and complete recovery, and you're feeling great here very, very soon. Let me give out the details again. For the Fit Expo, it's happening Saturday and Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center. You can get all the details and get your tickets at fitexpo.com. And if you want to meet Mr. Rutan in person, you can. 12:15 to 1 on Saturday and Sunday in Area H of the Convention Center. Get well soon, boss. We love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next time I'm going to come over, guys.
Yes, please. Thank you, man.
Sounds great.
All right. Bye.
Arnold Schwarzenegger joins us next in about 15 minutes or less here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and comedian Jim Jeffries next hour. Here's the headline. Monty Teo's dead girlfriend, the most heartbreaking and inspirational story of the college football season, is a hoax. This is one of the strangest and also most complicated stories to wrap your head around. So we thought, Petros Papadakis, he's the guy to bring it into sharp focus for us from the Petros and Money Show. Hey, P, how are you, buddy?
That's right. I am an academic. I'm very smart. I make things simple for people.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I can truly explain this. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are good.
Well,
we're
delighted to have you on. Rarely have I been so mesmerized and also confused by a story at the same time. Could you give our listeners that haven't seen the story yet kind of the bare bones of it, please, P?
But it's not going to be easy.
It is complicated, but give it a try.
Yeah, it is a bone-chilling story. When I read this story yesterday, it gave me one of the weirdest feelings. I've been doing this for 10 years. 12 years, I've never seen anything like this. None of us have. Notre Dame had a linebacker, one of the most decorated football players in their history, their most celebrated football player since they won the national championship in 1988 or since Tim Brown won the Heisman in the 80s. This kid, Manti Te'o, he's a Hawaiian from Honolulu, highly recruited guy. I mean, Notre Dame even took a game in Hawaii just to go out there and recruit him.
Wow.
This guy is a big-time guy, and it turned out this last season, they were undefeated, and he had a magic year. And they started to follow storylines about his life, one of which was that his grandmother died, and that was a heartbreaking thing. The other one was that 6 hours after or before the grandmother died, his girlfriend died. This girl that he was best friends with and talked every night on the phone with, who was dying of leukemia. Her name was Lene Kakua. Well, it turns out that she did not exist at all. I mean, obviously.
Now, hold on. So everybody all season long has been saying, wow, this guy is really holding up under the pressure. Can you imagine your grandmother passing away and then your girlfriend, this 22-year-old that got in a car accident or whatever? And now it's just coming out that she didn't exist?
She never existed. Now, you have to imagine the national media, when it comes to Notre Dame football, eating up a story like that. It's a very compelling story. She never existed. She didn't die. He never talked to her. Now, people are saying that he got catfished, which is something the kids all know about, which is you get fake online relationships or something like that. I might be a little too old for that. But the long and the short of it is, at a certain point here, people in Teo's family lied about his relationship with this girl, and Teo lied about it on a couple occasions because he said that he met her. He said he met her at a Stanford game, and she was a Stanford student. She couldn't have been because she didn't exist. He said that he met her in Hawaii a few times on vacation, and they spent time together. And that also could never have happened because, once again, she didn't exist. The pictures that we showed in the media all football season were actually pictures of some girl that went to high school with a kid named Renaya Tuiasosopo. And this kid, Renaya Tuiasosopo, and I know this is hard, guys, but Tuiasosopo is a member of this very revered Samoan football family on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And he, turns out, is probably the guy behind the fake girl on Twitter.
All right. Okay. Was this a joke played on Monty, or was this Monty playing a joke or lying?
No one really knows, and he's going to talk today. And there are lies that he is told regarding the situation, whether that's because he's embarrassed because he had a girlfriend that he had never met and he didn't want to tell people that.
Yeah.
Or maybe he learned at some point, but they were all in too deep. Or maybe he started the thing from the beginning. It doesn't look great no matter what, because at a certain point he lied. Now, Notre Dame has known about this since Christmas.
So he went to them. He's the one who alerted the school that there was something hinky going on, right, to his credit.
But there's something fishy about that, too, that you guys have to circle back. This is a wacky. I mean, I've never seen a story like this. I've been up all night. It's freaked me out.
It's crazy.
I know a lot of these people involved because I know about Samoan football culture here on the West Coast, and a lot of those people are involved in this. But the point is, he told Notre Dame around Christmas, allegedly. So that means Notre Dame has had about 3 weeks, more than that, to batten down the hatches. Notre Dame launched a counterattack with their own writers who owe them favors and a press conference yesterday, and they're standing solely behind Tail. But there's a lot of things in this situation that he can't answer for. And the media, it feels stupid. We all feel duped because we talked about this dead girlfriend and this inspirational story all football season, and now we feel dumb, so they're going to make Notre Dame pay. And it's not just the sports media. Everybody's going to descend upon South Bend, Indiana. So this one is for the books, guys. There's been nothing like this, and it's not going away anytime soon.
Are there any criminal charges in any involving anybody in this story is thing A. And thing B is, what does this do for Teo's chances to be recruited by the NFL? Is this a permanent stain on his character and no one will touch him?
Well, somebody's going to touch him because the kid can play.
Yeah.
He's not great, like unreal, awesome, top 10 pick, great probably, but he can play, and someone is going to touch him, but there are teams that won't because this looks like a character issue. I want to hear what he has to say today because he really, like Eminem, has one shot to make this right. You know, I mean, there is no wiggle room here for this kid. He's got to come clean, and he's got to come clean right away.
When and where is he going to do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just woke up, and it's vague. They said that we expect he's in Florida, I think, training, and they said we expect him to speak today. So that's pending. But remember, guys, that there is one thing missing, and that's to your question. There is no criminal element here. I mean, this is the most damn compelling story I've ever seen related to college football at all. But there is not a criminal thing. What it looks like is either some kind of cruel and horrible hoax that he got caught up in and then just kept perpetuating the lie, or some elaborate publicity stunt basically collaborated on by a bunch of 20-year-olds. And here's the real problem. It fooled the media.
Yeah.
I mean, Sports Illustrated, the
totally.
South Bend Tribune, ESPN, NBC, they all have fact-checkers. And no one ever looked at this.
Yeah,
until
Deadspin. Deadspin was the first news organization to say, "Hey, let's even see if this woman existed beyond the stories of how she related to this football team." Right? Yeah, it's
Deadspin
insane.
Deadspin did an absurdly thorough job in figuring out. Look, guys, LA Magazine did like a stupid talk back question answer thing with me a couple of years ago. A fact checker called me 5 times. How was this on the cover? I mean, magazines have fact checkers. How was this on the cover of Sports Illustrated and never vetted? Is another great question. I mean, there are so many more questions and answers in this situation, guys, but it is very compelling, and there is no doubt that at some point this kid, Manti Te'o, lied, and he might not be the person that he's been celebrated to be for a while now.
We're going to have to leave it right there for now, P, but I know you and Money are going to have much, much more on this story this afternoon. The Petras and Money Show airs 3 to 7 p.m. on AM 570. We appreciate your insight on the story, dude. Thanks so much.
Was that okay?
It was great.
Fantastic.
Really good. Thank you, Pete.
This week, it's all about the Muse here on K-Rock. Next hour, we'll give you tickets to see them sold out at Staples Center next week. Then, at 9:10 or thereabouts, we'll give you tickets. We'll give you a copy of their latest album, The Second Law, and qualify you for a trip to go see the band in Paris, France. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. We do that at 9:10 every morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. You can get all those details at krock.com. I got one eye on the phone here. I guess Dave is on with Mr. Schwarzenegger's people. Is that what's happening?
I believe so. I think he's trying to get a hold of him, yeah.
By the way, I'm going to say something. I guess I would say this if he was on the phone. 65 years old, I feel like Arnold could kick my ass.
Well, in honesty, anyone could kick your ass. But he can kick other people's ass, maybe.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I know that he's got a history of professional bodybuilding and everything. The guy was in unbelievable shape for several decades. But he's 65 years old, and he took 10 years off from all that nonsense to be in politics or something like that. The fact that he still looks as good as he does and still does the kinds of stunts that he does at his age, I don't know. I just think that's super impressive. I mean, we just talked to Boss Rutten, who's, 47 years old?
Yeah.
He's in a hospital in a neck brace or something like that. Schwarzenegger's 20 years past that. He's running around kicking people's asses, jumping over cars and things like that.
Right, but you know Boss Rutten, that kind of fighting is real, and Arnold's isn't. You're aware of that, right?
Right, but I know that 20 years is also real.
All right.
I'm just saying, man's old, is what I'm saying.
We were reading an article as we were preparing to talk to him, and he said that he had a very special word with the camera people. Because if he does a stunt and they don't get it, heads are going to fly because he doesn't want to do stunts twice.
Doing it again.
He doesn't want to do it again because he's getting old. So he's
I don't blame him.
We might need Ralph to go in the other room and fake it.
That's a great idea.
We've been saying all day that we're going to talk to the real Arnold because we talk to Ralph as Arnold all the time.
And I know that people probably didn't believe us when we said we were going to have Mr. Schwarzenegger on because they probably thought, oh, it's just Kevin and Bean doing one of their wacky voices. Yeah, let's get Ralph on the phone if we have to. The movie's called The Last Stand. It opens up everywhere tomorrow with Forrest Whitaker, Johnny Knoxville, Luis Guzman. This might be a good time maybe to stall while we're waiting for Arnold and play some of Beer Mug's interviews because he talked to all of those guys, including Arnold, on the red carpet the other night.
Oh, that's true. Get up the Beer Mug with Arnold Schwarzenegger one. And that way we can stall with that.
I thought we already discussed this.
You said it was a great interview.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, one of your best.
You said you were at your best. Those were your words.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But I erased them, so we don't have them.
Oh. Wow.
You erased them after we had them on the air, though, right?
No. Before.
So we never heard them.
So your interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, it turns out, is exactly as good as our interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Ours is being heard, except for without Arnold.
I feel like the result is still the same. None of us get to hear from Arnold. Well, I'm sure it would have been entertaining when he talked to us as well. But the film is called The Last Stand. If you want to see that, it opens up everywhere tomorrow.
Stars Forrest Whitaker and Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, that's kind of...
So Johnny Knoxville.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that looks fantastic. It was great talking to the governor.
Sure.
And we're glad you got to hear it. You must feel special.
Comedian Jim Jefferies joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. Hey, remember about 10 minutes ago when we swore to you that we weren't lying? Arnold Schwarzenegger was on the phone. You remember those days?
Yeah, we said, hey, it's the real Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then everybody was like, no, it's just Ralph doing a voice. And we were like, no, seriously, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then
there was nobody on the phone because he wasn't on the phone. Well, now he's on the phone. Now the governor joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Lisa. How are you doing today?
Good.
Very good. Thank you.
We are great. Thank you for joining us. How does it feel to be back in the saddle as a full-time movie-making man?
Well, it has been a great ride. It was really fun to see that so many movie companies, have been interested in me after I left the governor's office. And this is my first starring role in Last Stand. I have done a movie before, which was Expendables with Sylvester Stallone and a lot of the other action heroes,
right?
Which came out last summer. But this is the first time I do my own film here and then starring in this film. And it's been a fun movie and a fun experience making it.
Were you afraid? Yeah. Were you afraid when you went into politics that people would either A, forget, or B, just not be interested in a return to movies?
I think when I got into politics, I didn't think about, 7 years down the line or 10 years down the line. I was thinking more about, how can I solve some of the problems that California was facing. And, I felt very honored that the people has chosen me and voted for me to become governor of this great state. And I felt very strongly that, that everything that I've achieved in my life was because of California, was because of America. And so, for me to put 7 years into that and to take the risk of maybe not being accepted when I come back was worth it because, like I said, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have this kind of a career, wouldn't it be for America? But you're absolutely correct. There is a concern, because sometimes people step out of show business for just a few years, three, 4 years, and then they can connect again. And so I was very surprised when I did the Expendables and, there was a loud cheer when I came on the screen. So I knew that I think that the people accept me back. And so I felt really good about that.
Hey, look, you told us I'll be back, and you weren't lying. That's basically what's going on here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am back.
Now, let me ask you this. I know that you were passionate about your time in politics, and I know how hard you worked when you were in office. Do you miss that, especially at a time now where there aren't very many guys like you who really work hard to work both sides of the aisle to try to bring everybody in? It just seems like it's even more divisive than ever in politics. Republicans and Democrats can't even be friends anymore, much less be married to each other. Do you ever miss being able to be part of that national conversation, Arnold?
Well, you know, in a way, I'm still part of the national conversation, but yes, of course, you miss the excitement and you miss the kind of action, because remember, when you sit in the governor's office, you have, you know, literally every half hour to an hour a different meeting about a different subject. So you start out with, you know, talking about transportation and how to improve the roads and the highways and the freeways and tunnels and bridges in California. And the next minute, someone comes in from law enforcement and talks about what they need in order to improve the situation, the shooting and the killing of people. And then the next time, some religious leader will come in and talk about their religion. So there's action all day long. So sometimes you miss that. But I tell you, it has been great to step out of that and then to go into making movies and to be on a set and to act out scenes and to do the action and the chase scenes that we have in this movie and the fight scenes and the shootouts and all those kind of things. It's fun to do that again. And when it comes to policy, we have started the USC Schwarzenegger Institute, where we will continue with the policy and that we will continue fighting for, you know, good government practice and the political reform. Work on redistricting nationwide to clean the environment and protect the environment and all of those kind of issues we are addressing. So I will do, you know, all of those things. I will continue promoting health and fitness as I have for the last few decades. And I will continue, you know, now with show business and with movies, and I will continue also with policy issues.
All right, last political question for me, and that is, there had to be some of those meetings, and let's face it, everybody knows you've been sitting in a meeting with somebody who's so unbelievably boring that you had to be thinking, I should be making movies, this is so boring. That had to be going through.
You know, what I did was, that's why I had a smoking tent out in the Capitol. And so what I did was, when I knew that it was going to be a boring meeting, I took people out in the smoking tent and we lit up a cigar, and that spiced the conversation up, and it didn't stay in that boring mode. Because so many times people come in, you know, with their suits on and their tie, and
right,
they're all buttoned down, and they, are very concerned that they don't say the wrong thing because they're in the governor's office notice. So we lightened the thing up. But I think that there's one thing that you have talked about now several times, and this is the partisan pickering that's going on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think that we have to just, make sure that the people elect officials that do the people's work rather than the party's work. Because what is so unhealthy about all of this is that, you know, Democrats trying to do things that are the Democratic party platform, and the Republicans still want to do what is the Republican philosophy. And in the meantime, they don't do the people's work.
Right.
And they're just fighting, and they can't get done the immigration reform that needs to be done really badly, or to move forward with, building our infrastructure nationwide. We're falling way behind with infrastructure, or to go into create the jobs and to do the kind of things to create an environmental policy and an energy policy nationwide, so we know where we get our energy from in the future and how do we get off fossil fuels. All of those things need to be addressed very badly, and how can we stay competitive and compared to the rest of the world. All of those things need to be addressed, and just fighting amongst Democrats and Republicans is not going to do that.
All right, you're right. The government is absolutely broken. This is the voice of, like you couldn't tell, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about his new film called The Last Stand. It is opening up everywhere tomorrow with a tremendous cast, Louis Guzman, Forrest Whitaker. You look like you and Johnny Knoxville became pretty good friends on this movie, Arnold.
We became very good friends, but I tell you something. That Johnny Knoxville is so funny. He made me laugh on the set, and Guzman also. I mean, you wouldn't expect it from him, even though he has done some funny things, but he's also very, very funny. And this is what turned out to be such a great, combination in the film. of the, having this great chase scenes and action scenes, but to also have this comic relief and have this funny characters. So it's kind of like a, you know, a Fast and Furious in some ways, and also a combination of a True Lies, where you have funny scenes and comedic scenes where people can really sit back and enjoy the action, but also enjoy the fun stuff.
Is it true that you had a South Korean director who could not understand a word you said, and you could not understand a word he said?
Well, I think that he spoke some English, and he got better as time went on. But
as time went on?
I got better than time was on. But I mean, you know, what a perfect combination. And, you know, my English is what it is, and his English was what it was.
Governor, we are almost out of time. How long do you think you'll be doing acting? How many years do you have left doing these kinds of movies?
I will continue it, you know, until I'm gone. Because, you know, to me, retirement is prestigious, and I don't retire from my institute. I won't retire from promoting health and fitness and doing the Arnold Classic. I won't retire from doing movies. All of those things, I have a great time, and I will continue doing it. And so I'm so happy that we got the great reviews for our movie for Last Stand, and that people are excited when it comes out on Friday. And so I'm very happy about the whole thing.
Great. The movie is called The Last Stand. As Arnold mentions, it opens up everywhere tomorrow, and people are saying it is very funny and great action, too. Arnold, we don't have you on nearly often enough, sir. Thank you for the time on The Kevin Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
I'll be back.
106.7 K-Rock and KROQ, and this is The Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Why are we already laughing? Because Jim Jeffries has joined us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you. That's
Jim,
very
of
nice.
Course, of one applause. Of our all-time favorite comics, the hilarious guy, and he is on your TV tonight on FX with his new show called Legit that we will talk about in great depth in a minute. But sure. I want to hear more about last night. So last night you were a guest on the Conan O'Brien Show on TBS,
yeah.
And this is the first time you've ever done one of those kind of late night shows.
I'd never done one before. I'd done one as a stand-up comedian. I'd done a few of them.
So they let you come up and do your act,
yeah,
but not sit down and
I've never done one as a guest. I just sort of treated it the same way, but Marion Cotillard,
right?
The bird, bonkers. The bird who played Edith Piaf was on before me.
Yep.
And see, this is the weird thing. Before I went on the show, they gave me like 3 or 4 pre-interviews. I think they basically...
3 or 4?
They just wanted to know that I wasn't going to say the C word. And
couldn't they just make you sign something saying you're not going
to... You're never sure, right? But I don't think she had a pre-interview. If you watch it, it literally goes like this. It goes, so how do you like the movie industry? Oh, no, it's good. Do you like men with red hair? Yep.
Now, poor back Conan. Backstage, were you watching this going, all right?
I was going, yeah, yeah. And then she goes, I grew up, my father was a mime, and my mother was a actress, and we had no television. And so my parents encouraged us to be artistic, and we used to write on the walls. And then it's like, I go out there, and Conan's like, so here you just become a father, and I got to tell you one thing. I'm going to give him a TV, and I want the little bastard writing on the walls.
Now, before we move on, Jim, we need a ruling. Actually, I'm so glad that Jim is here today, Kevin, because we have had a debate on this show for years about Marion Cotillard, who I think is gorgeous. I love her. I think she's
bonkers.
Beautiful. Kevin has found a physical flaw in her that I don't see at all. So
here's
the question
to
you.
I found one. I'm not inside her.
I agree with that, by the way.
That's a physical flaw I saw with her last night.
Here's the ruling
we need
for you, Jim.
She seemed to be repulsed by me. That was a personality flaw she had as well.
Here's the ruling we need from you. Kevin says that Marion Cotillard, beautiful Oscar winner,
sure,
has bonkers eyes.
Bonkers.
There's something wrong with her eyes,
I don't think
he
there's
says.
Anything wrong with her eyes. They seem slightly far apart. She does have
a
hammerhead sort of effect.
Thank you.
That's what Kevin's been saying.
Bom, 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 bonkers.
But there's nothing wrong
now, wait,
with that.
Now, Bean, hold on, though. I don't think she's not attractive.
I'd make a poem with her called Shark Week.
But you agree that her eyes are bonkers, Jim?
But she was very, very pretty. She's very nice. I'm not going to say anything
very pretty, very nice.
Mean about her.
I agree. Eyes are bonkers.
I enjoyed listening to. Was that really Arnold Schwarzenegger who rang
in?
That was very exciting. I like how he rings up and goes, and since I have not been the governor, I've been in 2 movies. I was in The Expanse. And it's like, Was he reading his IMDb page?
Yeah, I don't know.
There was a bit where it's like, yeah, we know what you've been doing. Yeah. Oh, you're in the Expendables, were you? I think I saw you in the movie. It's not like you're running a charity, Arnold, and right. You have to explain what tireless work you're doing. We're pretty up to date on what Arnold Schwarzenegger's
been. There's been a lot of news about him.
Yeah.
Out there.
And by the way, Jim, just like last night on Conan, today you're coming after someone who barely speaks English, so you sound once again brilliant and articulate.
I'm as an immigrant, I am all for the Schwarzenegger. I like to think one day I could be governor.
I would love that. I would too.
I'll be a citizen soon.
Be the worst governor/best governor ever.
Yeah, I'd get gun control in. That's my big thing at the moment. Not everyone agrees with me, but I'm anti-gun.
Anti-gun?
I don't take all the guns away. I think we keep the guns.
Oh, keep them.
But we go back to when the Second Amendment was written. We all go back to muskets. Everyone gets a musket. We're all packing a musket, a little bag of gunpowder.
It took like a minute and a half to get a bullet ready.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear the news. I want to hear there's been a school shooting. A kid has a broken rib.
That's it? That's all the bad they can do?
I'm so sick and tired of people going, why should I get rid of my guns? Because I'm a responsible gun user, and I have it to defend my family, and I'm responsible, and I keep it in a safe. And you're not defending anyone.
You have to go to a safe.
Exactly. Yeah. Some guy breaks into your house. You're like, you wait here, mate.
You wait till I go and get my...
Honey, is it 32 to the left or 32 to the right? All right. Now I have to go to my ammunition safe because I like to keep them separate.
I predict a great deal of success with that campaign. I think you're going to do great.
I find that a lot of Americans don't agree with me.
You've got my vote, though.
Well, this is the thing. I had a break-in with someone coming to my house with a machete, and so many people...
You did? For real?
Yeah, for real. I was living in Manchester and tied me up and stole my car and all sorts. And
had their way with you?
Threatened to, but, you know... You haven't seen me in the light. Like, they came in the dark,
and then
they turn the light on.
And they go, whoa.
And then they're like, let's just rape each other. Like, to the other guy, and let's be done. So they came in, and so many people were like, well, bet you wish you had a gun. I was naked. And at least I had it in my naked gun holster. Yeah, ready to go.
Right.
Everyone thinks they're ready to go when this happens. I got punched on stage. It took about 5 punches before I realized I was punched.
I'm getting punched.
Oh, I better punch someone back.
It does take your mind a while to get around something.
And
like
if you're sleeping, your natural reaction isn't getting to my gun stance.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I better roll under the bed.
Hide my privates.
This is the voice of Jim Jeffries here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new program is called Legit. You've been telling us about this for a long time, man. I remember when this was just a dream. You were hoping it would happen, and then you did the pilot, and then it got picked up, and then you started making the shows, and now we're finally here, and it's finally going to air.
We're here. They're all filmed, and I think 10 of the 13 episodes are all edited, and then it's at the risk of bragging, because I didn't think this would happen, but the reviews have been phenomenal.
Very good.
The Variety and the Hollywood Report.
What did you expect about with reviews?
Well, I don't see my comedy as being reviewer-friendly, and it's a story that one of the main actors is in a wheelchair, which isn't common in the sitcom world.
Right.
To be going, and not only he's in a wheelchair, but he's terminally ill.
Right.
You know, so we can only really go maybe 4 seasons. otherwise, these first episodes lose all plausibility. Because he's almost dead in the pilot.
You do spend most of the first half hour of the series worrying that you're going to kill him by accident.
Yeah, you're right.
He's hanging on.
In the first episode, we're putting oxygen on him. We're treating him very carefully. And by episode 8, he's fairly robust. Like, we don't know how he's going to know better. He can start to move a little bit more.
Nice.
DJ Qualls plays him. And the cool thing about DJ is he looks disabled.
He totally does.
He's not. And it's what happened was we had to populate the world, so we actually have some disabled and mentally challenged actors in the show.
I would expect nothing less from you.
And there's an agency that has them, and you know, if anyone has any bad feelings towards the show because of that. I tell them to ring this agency because we're keeping everyone employed.
So you call an agency and you say, I need a guy in a wheelchair. I need somebody who's...
I need some cerebral palsy. I need some Down syndrome. Whatever the need is, right?
Is the guy who is his roommate?
That Nick Daly. He's one of the funniest. He can deliver a line better than anyone I know, but he has a condition, yes.
How about that? I can hire physically and mentally disabled people like for parties and stuff now if I want to?
I don't know for parties.
I don't think it's for parties.
I think this agency mostly did like PSAs and Lifetime movies.
Sure.
And you know, like something like Seventh Heaven. We're like, hey, Billy, why don't you come to our party?
Right. Thank you.
That's what they thought it was, right? And then we
can come. I hear your impression again?
Thank you. And then we went. And then there's a scene where we went, we need like... there's an episode where I work at the home to do some community service. And so we just rang them up and said, give us all of them. Just every
give
single...
Us all of
every,
them?
Ship them all over.
I don't know if you call it a murder of disabled or a
I'm
flock.
Not sure.
But it's a lot, right?
Right, a herd?
A herd's a bit mean-spirited.
Okay, sorry.
And
I'm mean-spirited. Jim Jeffries is here and I'm mean-spirited. Bastard.
So it was. It took a bit of direction, but I think it looks authentic. Our show. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you when you talk about the your show not being necessarily review friendly. That's the same as with your comedy, though. Is there are the people who get you, like most of our audience, if you recall from April Fool's Schmidt, love you. I mean, on the floor over you. Then there are the people, Kevin, that you've talked about on the show. That one joke in, they're ready to get up and walk out.
It was
and
Jim
start
Jeffries.
Writing a letter.
It was Jim Jeffries.
Was. Yeah.
She tapped me on the shoulder. She said, "Don't laugh at this," and she.
That's what I
out.
Said, yeah.
Who was that?
It was
just
when you were...
Someone at the audience.
You were AIDS away from looking good.
Oh!
It was that joke.
I'm AIDS away from looking like Brandon Flowers from The Killers.
But what I'm saying is I think that's the same deal with legit, though. I think that there are people who are going to be on your wavelength and ours, Jim, who are going to look at this and go, my God, this is funny, and I can't believe this is on TV. And then there are going to be the other people who are going to be like, this should not be on TV. This is wrong.
Well, I have to thank Peter O'Fallon, who created the show with me, because he put a lot of heart into the show. If it was up to me, it would
you don't have a lot of heart.
Yeah, it would just be mean-spirited. and it's like, I'm so happy to be on FX. They've given us so much, liberty with everything. But and it's like the other channel would have been HBO. I would have pitched it to next.
Right.
And I look back and I'm like, thank God I'm not on HBO. Because if I was on HBO and they let me do anything, because FX, I still can't say the C word, the F word, and I can't have any nudity or anything. But if I was on HBO, it would just be like me sitting in front of a naked girl going, say the C word.
Yeah, totally different show.
I don't need that much freedom. I need to take a break.
If you're easily offended, perhaps legit is not for you. But the rest of you should watch it tonight.
It's tonight at 10:30 on FX. More with our guest Jim Jeffries. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Dr. Drew joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and just after 9 we'll give you your chance to maybe win tickets to, I don't know, fly to Paris to see Muse. All the details at KROQ.com. Right now, though, our friend Jim Jeffries back on the show. His new TV show is called Legit. It premieres tonight at 10:30 on FX. Right. Jim, did you ever think you'd have a TV show?
I didn't. I pitched a lot of TV shows and I'd sold a lot of scripts, but I never thought someone would give me one. In fact,
I remember we've had you in many times, and I remember when you were saying, yeah, it's another one that I'm pitching, and I don't want to get my hopes up, so I don't want to talk about it. I remember all that.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Who's going to give me a TV show? It's very, very bizarre.
Well, you're not politically correct. I'll give you that.
I tell you this. If I ever win an award for anything, a lot of people use that time to thank everyone who helped them make it.
Right.
I'll be using that time to tell everyone to F off.
Then I hope you win.
I'll be starting with Barney Maple, my high school bully.
Jim's been keeping a list, man. He just keeps adding to it every day. The people stand in his way.
There was one of the biggest agencies in the world. I've never been petty like that, really, where I've ever done anything. But one of the biggest agency in the UK went to sign me. And as I was being signed, the guy said, you'll never be on UK TV, so I don't know what to do with your career. And so when I got this and they said, I've got a full season, I sent him an email with a link from Variety magazine going, you're right, I never would be on UK TV.
Jim, I read some of the press leading up to Legit tonight, and you've been asked some interesting questions, and you've told some stories that I had not heard before. Would you mind sharing the Paul McCartney story with our listeners?
Because sure.
I couldn't believe that.
This was an episode we wanted to make, but we couldn't get Paul McCartney to act. I mean, he seemed to stop at help. for some reason. he's acting great. Anyway, so it's kind of a long story. I'll try to tell an abridged version. But I was presenting at the Q Awards, which is like the MTV Awards or whatever in the UK. I gave the Lifetime Achievement Award to Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was coming off stage, I actually was the first time I hadn't been drunk in public.
Is that right?
I'd just been told I had liver problems. I'd given up drinking. My girlfriend was still drunk. It was sponsored by Smirnoff, this award show. And you know that thing when you're not drinking and everyone else is drinking, where everyone else becomes an a-hole?
Yeah.
And you're like, my friends are horrible people. Why did I like these people? Right? So,
but you never were when you drank.
I was never. No. You know, have you ever had sex with someone when you're drunk and they're sober? It's horrible. You just make them say down camera that you're consenting to this. Anyway, so I get off stage and I'm walking past, like, I was like, wow, there's George Michael. And I was like, there's, take that. Robbie Williams is sitting with him again. Like, really, like, just childish stuff. And then I was all cool with it. And then I walked past Paul McCartney's table and I froze up and went, I just stood there, just couldn't move. And the spotlight's still on me in this theater. And then he gave me this sort of wink and a like that, like a little bit of a point, yeah, as if to go, move on, idiot, right? And I sort of gave a nod, like, oh, all right. And so I went back to my girlfriend who was sitting there, and I said, Paul McCartney's here. And she went, shut the F up. And I went, can you calm down? Just calm down. You're embarrassing me. Well, ordinarily, I wouldn't care, but being sober with drunk person, I'm like, you're embarrassing me. Then my publicist comes up to me and goes, would you like to go into the gift room? Now, you guys would know, but many of our listeners wouldn't know what this is like. I've never been in one at this stage. Basically, celebrities walk in a room and they just give you free stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
The people that can afford it the most get free stuff.
And I'd never been in one, so I stood at the front with my girlfriend and I said, all right, when we go in there, play it cool. We do this every day. Maybe we want stuff, maybe we don't. It's not a big deal to us, right? And we walked in and we just looked like new money so quickly. It was unbelievable because she goes, look at all the free stuff. And I went, can you shut up? You're embarrassing me.
So that's an embarrassing Jim Jefferies.
I sent her off on her way and then I'm queuing up for a gold pen to be given to me, right? And I'm standing in front of Neil Finn from Crowded House and Split Ends fan. If you don't know who Neil Finn is, hey now, don't dream it. Biggest star in New Zealand ever, right? In Australia, big deal as well. And I'm a huge fan of him. I'm standing behind him, and he turns around to me, and he says, quite the cue for a pen. And you know when you like someone, so you overly laugh at their joke?
Oh, yeah.
So I went, ha, 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 ha. Go on, Neil. And then he goes, and then I said, I thought I'll talk to him. I said, hey, Neil, I'm a big fan of yours. I've seen you live 9 times. I would have seen you live 10 times. But in 1993, I went to see you when you played in Newcastle, but there was an earthquake that day, and the venue fell down, so I didn't come to that show. And she went, yeah. He goes, yeah, our manager and two of our roadies died in that.
Oh,
and I
dude.
Went, ah. Right, that would be the gig. So one of my biggest heroes, I just reminded him of friends of his dying within seconds of him meeting him, you know.
Good.
And I just felt like, I felt really small, and he sort of turned his back on me. And then my girlfriend rocks up. She's wearing a top hat. She's got she's got three watches on. She has like all these pairs of jeans underneath her arms. And she goes, look at all the free stuff I got. And I went, shut the hell up, will you? You're embarrassing me. New Finn's here. Right? And he turned around and rolled his eyes at me, and I was like, oh, God, can't I just get this pen and slither away? You know? So I'm standing there feeling really bad, and my girlfriend's like, what have I done? What? Like, just shut up, right? And then Neil Finn's 21-year-old son rocks up. He's wearing a top hat. He's got four watches on. He's got a whole lot of jeans on his own. And he's like, Dad, look at all this free stuff I got. And I went, and he turns and goes, can you shut the hell up? You're embarrassing me. And I looked at Neil Finn like, and
I'm not so bad.
So as I'm lining up, Neil Finn's son turns to Neil Finn and goes, and this never happens. I'm not trying to brag. This never happens to me. Turns to Neil Finn and goes, hey, Dad, Jim Jefferies is standing behind us. And I'm like, I'm back in, right?
Right.
And I went, g'day, mate. How you going? Good to see you. Enjoying yourself in the UK? And he goes, oh, me and my friends, we watch you on YouTube all the time. And I go, well, that's great, because I illegally download your father's music constantly. and we all had a little bit of laugh. And he goes, can I have a photo with you? And I said, oh, of course you can. And I said, but only if I can have a photo with your dad. Because it wasn't the type of room where you ask people for photos.
Okay.
Right? And I thought, this is the only way I could weave it in. And so I had my arm around Neil Finn, and I was happy as a pig in feces, right? I was just standing there. Am I allowed to say that?
That's sure. Probably.
And I'm just standing there with a big smile on my face, and my girlfriend pulls out the camera, and she goes to click down, and she's still wearing the top hat. She's 4'11". She's a little tiny thing. And she goes, oh, I forgot to put batteries in the camera. And my heart just sunk, and I was upset, but I didn't want Neil Finn to know I was upset. So I did that thing where I went, that's a shame, isn't it? maybe I can have a photo next time when we're hanging out. And then I looked at my girlfriend like, I could kill you.
Right.
You
know?
And then I went up with a gritted smile and did what every girlfriend, boyfriend, husband and wife has done since the dawn of time. I walked up to her face and I went, all you had to do was bring the bloody camera. And you couldn't even. And as I was doing that, she burst into tears, threw her jeans and all of her stuff down the ground front of all the celebrities, yells out, next time, bring your own effing camera. Like that, right? She runs out. Her top hat flies off her. It starts, like, spinning on the ground. Slash looks at me like I've done something really bad. Right? She bolts out. Neil Finn looks at me like, follow her, chase her, right? And so I run after her. I get to the door. No word of a lie. This arm just goes boom and bolts out in front of me. And I turn and Paul McCartney goes, that wasn't cool. So they were my two biggest heroes in the whole world. And they both think I'm an a-hole.
You offended them both at the same time.
And that was the first time I didn't get drunk. So,
you need to drink.
I know not to do that again.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. You know what I mean? Sober gets me into trouble.
That's awesome.
All right. We are now officially beyond out of time, but the new show is called Legit. If you love Jim Jefferies like we do, we guarantee you will love this show. It is awkward and uncomfortable and damned funny. It premieres tonight on FX. Jim, good luck with it, sir. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Drew co-hosts the Loveline Show right here on K-Rock 5 nights a week with our friend Psycho Mike. He also is Dr. Drew on call on CNN Headline News each weeknight, although they don't get to talk to him right as he's getting ready to step into the shower like we do here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Doctor, are you actually naked right now?
No. I've got a little pair of pants on. It's okay.
Listen to the excitement in Bean's voice.
I know. Still, it sort of did freak me out a little bit.
The doctor's kind of hunky, guys. I can't deny it. Hey, listen, we know you don't have much time, but we did want to have you on. Even though we've all been captivated by this Monte Teo story, we've almost forgotten about Lance Armstrong. That interview with Oprah hasn't even aired yet. That's tonight. You know something about this Lance Armstrong thing. Tell us about these performance-enhancing drugs. First of all, medically, what's going on with him?
Well, he hasn't told us yet what he's doing. It sounds like mostly what they're talking about is enhancing the body's ability to transport oxygen, which is part of, you know, why they have such amazing endurance. And I think what we're going to hear him say is that he did what everybody else did, that there was really sort of a uniform sort of, let's call it a standard of this behavior that people were doing in cycling. And if he hadn't done that, we would not know who he was. And I got to tell you, I'm a little disturbed the way people are wanting him to be destroyed. I mean, he did something wrong, and he will pay for it.
But
my goodness, is not the world a better place because we had a Lance Armstrong?
Here's my thing. A, it's bicycling. So who gives a crap?
Well, and not only that, Kevin, but if there had never been a Lance Armstrong, cycling wouldn't even be on our radar.
But I'm saying that's okay. But B, I think part of the problem is he was such an a-hole about other people using it or claiming he did it. And once you turn into that kind of, like, almost soapbox.
He was vicious.
And now it looks hypocritical that he was so mean to the other people in his sport that were caught when he was doing the exact same thing and wasn't caught.
No, I understand that. And believe me, he's going to pay millions and millions of dollars, and there's talk about criminal action. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things that happen to the guy. But does it have to be a witch hunt? Do we have to say, you know, this man needs to be completely destroyed? I'm not saying he did something good or this. You're not right. I'm just saying it's just weird to me that a guy that's done a lot of good –
yeah,
we can put that away completely and that just say that none of that counts. He didn't murder. You know what I mean? This is not a horrible human being.
He murdered bicycling.
Well, we're talking about it. We wouldn't have talked about it had it not been for him.
But Dr. Drew,
I'm ambivalent about it. That's all I'm saying. I know him, and he's not a horrible person. He made some horrible mistakes here and got himself in deep. And by the way, that whole Monte Teo thing is, I think, the same kind of a thing where it snowballs, gets away from these people, and they don't know what to do and just go with it.
Look, you've spent a lot of time, and you've talked in your books and on your various TV and radio shows about the celebrity culture in which we live. And let's face it, we love heroes. There's nothing more we love than to believe in something and to build these people up. Yep. And I think that's why there's such a reaction against Lance Armstrong right now, is we feel like we've admired this guy for so long. We've pointed to him as an example of what's right in the world.
I absolutely agree with you. However, also in my book, what I write about is how, as we get more and more primitive, the thing we really enjoy is human sacrifice.
Yeah.
That it galvanizes us all together. It makes us feel better about ourselves. It discharges all of our aggression. And we, if we had a volcano to throw him in, if we had a temple to tear his heart out, we would be engaging in those kinds of behaviors. And that's what I'm questioning, is that how much of it. We also love, resurrection, too, by the way.
Sure.
We do. You do give people a second chance.
Second chance is right.
But how vicious do we have to get is my question. I mean, yes, there'll be consequences, and they will be bad. He'll pay.
I hear that Oprah punched him. Is that true?
That's going to be awesome.
We had Carolla on. And by the way, if you missed Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla together, you can hear them together again. They're doing a podcast at adamcarolla.com. You should definitely check that out. But he made it sound to us like your phone was blowing up with either Armstrong or Armstrong's people contacting you. Is that true, Dr. Drew?
It was Armstrong.
He was texting you or whatever, and you were just putting no? You wouldn't answer?
Well, listen.
That's awesome.
If you ever sat with Carolla, if you're not looking at him the whole time,
I know.
It's the wrath of fury of Carolla.
He's a princess. Was Lance trying to get drugs from you? Why was he calling you?
No, I just sent him a supportive message, and he sent something back, and it really hurt my feelings. I really was upset that this man is suffering a lot and going to suffer a lot more, and it's not the guy that, I've known the guy for a while. He's not a bad human. He's made some bad mistakes. And let's just not forget about some of the good he's done. The Livestrong is an amazing organization.
It is. It really is.
He's deeply dedicated. He's got kids he spends a lot of time with. He's a good father. Let's give him a chance. First of all, let's see what he says on Oprah. That's my first order of business.
Which is tonight, right?
Yeah, is tonight. I'm anxious to hear what actually happened. I mean, if he did some really crazy manipulations of his body, even I'm going to be surprised about that.
But right, he was also getting other people to take that stuff.
What do you mean?
On his team.
He was making his team take the stuff as well, is what she's saying.
Yeah, I am not defending that behavior.
Right.
Trust me.
Look,
I am not.
Dr. Drew supports lying and cheating to get ahead. I think that's what.
And by the way, this is the crazy thing about I take a risk by saying anything positive about the guy because people just. They don't want the complexities. They just want take this guy down.
It's black or white, good or bad.
Yes,
Dr. Drew says, hey, forget about the murders. Remember the Heisman when it comes to O.J. That's where Dr. Drew's coming from.
I knew you. Thank you, Bean.
Love Line, Sunday through Thursday on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call weeknights on HLN. And again, the podcast with Adam at adamcarolla.com. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew as we do. Thanks, Doc.
All right, guys.
And the band Muse in Paris sounds good. Hang on. K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 2. Your chance to qualify in minutes. Ralph is here with the show Bisbee Now on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, so now I can do it. This hour I can do it. Is that how you say, what you're saying?
Arnold Schwarzenegger called late.
I'm allowed to do it now.
Last hour.
Okay, fine.
So
no.
He does
no,
Trump.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
No,
we have blown off Arnold to do showbiz?
You want to
retrospect?
You want a comedy answer or you want the real answer? I'll tell you something about the American people. They may be getting some taste when it comes to television.
You've never said that. It's been the opposite.
But I'm encouraged by the newly arrived last night's ratings for American Idol.
Oh, good.
American Idol down 20% in its season premiere. Last season's premiere was down 24%. So it seems as if America's catching on that American Idol is no longer watchable. And so they're doing the proper thing and not watching. Either that, or their lack of taste is only matched by their lack of attention span.
USA! USA! USA!
And they're just bored with it. So
it's probably still a sizable hit, I would imagine.
Yeah,
it's
still did a 6.
Like to see it go down, though.
Which is significant.
You know what my thing was, and I stuck with that show for a number of years, is I just felt like there are just too many people that are just trying, especially at this stage of the game, just trying to get on TV to be wacky at this point. They're not really looking for good singers yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't watch karaoke unless I'm drunk. That's my rule.
Yeah. I can't do karaoke unless I'm drunk.
True, too.
Yeah. I can watch it. Just can't do it. More TV news. This is really bad news.
for me personally and for many of our listeners I knew who shared my love for the sci-fi series Alphas.
Me included.
Yeah. And Kevin, it's hard. I don't get Kevin on board sci-fi shows very often.
That was a great
but
show.
But this is one he really enjoyed. It has been canceled. It was announced yesterday that sci-fi has canceled Alphas after its second season, which had a huge cliffhanger at the end of it. At least they could have let him do a TV movie or something to wrap up some of those story points. But the Davis Trithairn drama will no longer be seen.
Let's do that.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Congratulations to Jeremy Renner. He's going to be a daddy. And Us Weekly is reporting that his ex-girlfriend is expecting his child, and he claims to be over the moon about it.
Nice.
Yes, nothing's better. Nothing nothing could be better than to have the girl you broke up with tell you, come back and tell you that she's pregnant with your
Finally,
child.
She's out of your life.
Yep.
Oops, wait.
Oh, wait a minute. I meant to say she's going to be in my life for the rest of my life. That's what I meant to say.
That's rough.
Yeah, he was overheard talking about the good news to Eva Longoria at the Golden Globes, apparently, and says he's blown away by the turn of events.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. And plans to fly to the Mystery Woman's side when her water breaks. So, call me when that baby comes out, pretty much is what he said.
I'll be there for 15 minutes.
I'll be there with a checkbook and return ticket to wherever I'm flying in from. So, congratulations. This is a shocker. Lady Lur is being asked not to come to Sundance.
Really?
Yeah. She probably won't
the
be
wrong element
making an appearance. Apparently, the film festival's management wanted to screen her new movie, The Canyons, but decided to take a pass on the offer because they decided Lindsay would have to be there, and they don't really want her attending their film festival.
Oh,
so they're not even looking at the movie
so
then?
They're passing on the movie, yeah.
Ouch.
James Dean, her porn star co-star, said he couldn't really care less because he is going to be at the AVN Awards and wouldn't be able to attend the Sundance Film Festival anyway. You don't want to miss out on the Oscars of porn, my friend.
That's true.
Especially when you're as coveted a performer as James Dean is. He's probably up for 400 or 500 awards. I don't know how many they give out a night. I think it's about 1,000 they give awards, and I'm sure he's up for some of them. And this just sounds dumb. Just sounds dumb. Elton John is performing at Disneyland's Hyperion Theater in Anaheim, California on January the 25th with a 70-piece orchestra.
Wow.
That part doesn't sound dumb to me. The part that sounds dumb is he's going to be performing live at the same time in 20 other cities. Well, how is that possible, Ralph? You might be asking yourself. Well, here's how I answer. His piano playing is going to be reproduced, note for note, through the new technology called a Yamaha Disclavier TV Piano.
Oh. Okay.
As Elton John plays the piano in Anaheim, there will be electronically connected, digitally connected to live pianos in 20 different cities, and those pianos will also be playing what he's playing note for note, and the keys will be moving. It's like a big player piano, basically, with digital technology.
And then
it's science.
It's science. I think the orchestra is just going to be piped in.
His voice piped
via,
in?
Via internet. Yeah, and his voice will be piped in.
Well, that's weird.
Via remote live technology.
So you'll sit
there and watch
that piano
being played by ghost hands in Tokyo, Seoul, Paris, Moscow, Vancouver, and other cities all over the world.
They do a hologram.
They should. That'd be awesome.
Every other city.
Hologram Elton sitting at the piano.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is some sort of sponsored
probably
demonstration of this technology, more so than it is an Elton concert. But I think if I was in Moscow, sitting there watching a piano play by itself, I'd feel a little ripped off.
He's unbelievably short and fat compared to what you would expect. He's a tiny little fat dude now with stubby fingers.
Okay. So no one should watch him or listen to his
still,
music
still
anymore?
Still talented, but you look at him and you go, wow!
Can't blame him for being short. That's just as God made him, Kevin.
He's an Oompa Loompa now. Back to you.
Reminds me of that Bowie song on Extras with Ricky Gervais. Remember when they run into each other at that party? And this point, Ricky Gervais has gone on from being an extra to be a TV star, and Bowie just writes a song about him impromptu there at the party, sit at the piano. Little fat man. No, that's not it. Fat little loser. He just keeps going on and on about his life. That's what Kevin would do if he met Elton John. He'd just start calling
He's
fat.
Still talented, but man.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Betty White is 91 years old today. James Earl Jones turns 82. Muhammad Ali is 71. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals turns 54. Jim Carrey is 51. Our First Lady, Michelle Obama, turns 49.
By the way, I've had some complaints about the bell going to the First Lady. I think she's dead
she's
sexy.
She's very attractive.
I don't know that really. She's dead sexy.
I don't know
very
that she's
attractive.
Dead sexy, Austin Powers.
I do.
I'd say she's sexy and deserves a bell.
I don't know this lady. Do
sexy.
I make you horny? You're dead sexy.
I think she's attractive enough for a bell.
I agree.
It's been a long time since we've had a First Lady like that since, obviously, you know, George H.W. Bush's wife, Barbara. Yeah, of course.
DJ Caruso, my buddy and an excellent director from Disturbia and Eagle Eye and, of course, Two for the Money, 48 years old today. Naveen Andrews from Lost is 44. Kid Rock is 42. Zooey Deschanel celebrates her 33rd birthday. And I blame the King of Mexico for this because I didn't realize it was this gentleman's birthday until I found out on my own. I want to send a happy birthday out to Josh Molina. Josh Molina, of course, from The West Wing and from Scandal.
Oh, sure.
Excellent actor and a good guy. 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in today. Ralph Garman has the Showbiz Beat coming up again in minutes. I found an article yesterday that I thought was so fascinating because you know how sometimes you'll think things that are just crazy and bizarre and illegal, and if you said or did them, you'd end up in jail.
To keep yourself.
And you wonder if it's just you or is it everybody else. Here's an article on a site called ThoughtCatalog.com, which is five things that everybody thinks but nobody says.
ThoughtCatalog.com. I've never been there. That might surprise you to know.
It's a good site. For instance, here's one, and I think this is fascinating, and I can absolutely admit that this is me, but tell me if this is you guys, too. This is when you're in a meeting, you're in something that's formal or professional, and you can't stop thinking about the most outrageous and craziest thing you could do. Like screaming penis at the top of your lungs. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if I just stood up and dropped trow or if I lit the place on
fire?
That's
my whole life.
I swear to God,
I hate any kind of meeting for any amount of time. It drives me crazy.
And you're just looking for, like, what is it with you? Do you think it's just a way out? Is it just a diversion?
It would be so funny. The more outrageous you got, it would be so funny to see the faces of the people. And you're not necessarily looking to crack them up. Maybe they're offended. Still funny.
But what is it about when you're in a situation that's organized, there's something that makes you want to create chaos out of that. Like you just can't wait to stir it up. I wonder what causes that.
I don't know.
That's so strange. What if I just got naked and started screaming at people is what this one is entitled, by the way.
I think it's because we all are such phonies when we're in those meetings. We're all in our little suits and everything. And you know those people go home and have netty sex or whatever, something. We're all just pretending we're adults.
All right, that's it. Here's number two. Now tell me if this is you guys. I don't think this is me. Does this person make more money than me? According to this article, everyone at some time or another becomes obsessed with how much their coworkers are making, how much their friends are making, how much their relatives are making. Are they making more than me? How are they affording this stuff? Should they be paying when we go out to eat? It's driving me crazy. I must know.
Not for 1 second.
I definitely have a couple of friends. And for a while, I was this way with my sister. She wouldn't tell me.
Oh.
So I know she was not telling me so she wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Because
so then it made me crazy.
Well, yeah, that's different. If she's flaunting it by not telling you.
Yeah. And then I had a friend also who was doing all this stuff. I'm like, you work where I work. How the hell are you doing all
right.
this?
Drug sales.
And did they ever say?
Kind of.
Oh, that sounds
kind of family money.
Hooker.
Oh, I see.
No.
But that's interesting with your sister is that it got competitive and it was something that really started to bug you.
She was just trying not to crush me.
She was trying to save your feelings.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one. And this is really weird. Have you ever been standing on like the roof of a place or on a train station or subway platform or something like that? And you thought to yourself, I'm going to jump. What if I jumped? What would that be like if I jumped? Wouldn't it be crazy if I jumped? Has that ever occurred to you?
Off a pier.
Or have you ever been driving
driving
down the road and you've had that bizarre urge to turn the wheel into oncoming traffic and you don't know why because you would never do that. You don't want that to happen. It would be horrible, but there's something that makes you start thinking about it.
I've done that. I've done the driving thing. And then
what do
you
think? What's that about?
I don't know because that's the next thought is what's that about? Why would that thought come to my head? What's wrong with me?
That is scary. I've never thought that.
What'd you say about the pier, Lisa?
Oh, standing off a pier, I always have the thought, what would it be like to jump in? Yeah, but it's scary at the end of a pier, and it's cold, and I don't know, but I always just wonder what that would be like.
It would be wet.
And you would never, ever do it, but why? What makes you think? Because logically, you would think, I'm standing on a pier, and this is where I want to be. I don't want to be down there in the water.
Yeah.
What would make you think I should jump, or I wonder what it would be like? It's just so weird. All right, two more. This baby is ugly.
We have all thought that.
This baby is ugly. No one ever says, you could never say that, because to all parents, their babies are beautiful, right?
Right.
And the truth is that white babies are ugly. There's no question about that. You very rarely see a white baby that's cute. All the cute babies are the little Asian babies, little black babies, especially the mixed race babies. It's tough to find a cute white baby.
That's true.
But everybody thinks this. I mean, no one. You want to say something. You want to say, hey, I'm sure it's an awesome baby, but you're fooling yourself if you think this kid is cute, but you just can't do it.
No, but you could do it jokingly. Wow, ugly, you know, or something like that, and then laugh, but you'd never say it for real. Because
you'd never say it. Everybody,
if you're meeting somebody's baby, you know them well enough that you wouldn't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And I guess this goes back to what you were saying earlier, Lisa, which is just that there's standards of behavior that humans are expected to live by in civilized society.
I'm finding it harder and harder to live that way, by the way.
And you just know that it's not real, it's phony, like you're talking about, because you're saying things that you don't mean just because you want to be in civilization, right?
Yeah, and there's always a chance it'll grow out of it, right?
Most ugly babies can generally
turn out to be okay-looking people.
Yeah.
All right, number five on the list, and I love this one, too. And Kevin, I know 100% this is you. Because Kevin believes, and we've talked about on the show many times before, that only attractive people should be allowed to have sex. No ugly people should ever have sex.
I just don't want to picture it. I don't mind if anyone's having sex. I picture the beautiful people.
And this is what number five is on this list from thoughtcatalog.com. Thinking about, insert couple here, having sex is offensive and nauseating.
Yeah, well, parents,
Yeah. There are certain couples that you just in a million years never want to imagine, even if they're young and in love and happy or something like that. The idea of them having sex is just impossible to imagine and approve of. It's gross. Even if they're holding hands, your mind starts to wander. You don't want to even picture what those hands were doing.
Right below parents is beating his wife.
I was going to say, all of you. I have trouble picturing all of you having sex.
It's so weird.
I mean, look, the truth is most of the people that we all know are having sex, but thank God we don't have to see it, right?
Oh, definitely.
You just want to think about those people in a completely different way. But that is also in the top five of things that everybody thinks, but no one says.
Pretty much all of those. Does that make me an a-hole?
Though, right, Lisa? Except me, right?
Of course.
Time for Ralph Garman and another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday program. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, how about MMA fighting?
Yay!
We're going to do that here before
we do that first. You and me, Kevin, strip down.
Okay.
Down to your undies. Come on, let's go. Tonight is the night at the Bren Event Center in Irvine, California. It is Bellator MMA. You can see it live on Spike TV tonight. But if you'd like to be there in person, and why wouldn't you? I've got a four-pack of tickets to see Bellator MMA tonight. Great lineup. Some heavyweight and featherweight world championships like Hahn versus Chandler, Kerbin versus Pitbull.
Can't believe he's fighting now.
It's not a different Pitbull.
Rapper?
Different Pitbull. If you'd like to purchase tickets, you still can. You can go to Bellator, BELLATOR.com and enter the promo code MMAKROQ. You get $10.67 off of any ticket, and you receive a free K-Rock Bellator t-shirt. Or you can just call now, 1-800-520-1067. Since today's the 17th, January 17th, the 17th caller will get a four-pack of tickets to see Bellator MMA live tonight at the Bren Event Center in Irvine. As I mentioned, if you can't get down there, it's on Spike TV as well. My buddy Lorenzo Lamas will be in the audience.
Ah.
Spike TV was kind enough to invite some of us down from Schmo to go see it. I wanted to go tonight. I can't make it. I got a thing with the kid. Kids get in the way, man. Yeah. Stuff, I'll tell you. But I think Psycho Mike's also going to be down there.
Fantastic.
So, should be a good time. This is very exciting, guys. You know, I love you, and I love doing the show, and I love sticking around. It's been a lot of fun, but I think...
Is it over?
Yeah, I think it's time for me to move into full-time motion picture stardom.
I didn't realize that was an option for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, after the wild success I had by lifting Ted, a marginal film, up to great heights, making it the highest box office money-making R-rated comedy of all time...
You did that?
Yeah, I did that.
Hmm. Well, people do only talk about the first 10 minutes when your character's on screen.
That's what I'm saying. It's time for me to make my next move, and it looks like I will be working for producer Brian Grazer next. Mick Jagger is co-producing a film with Brian Grazer.
Does Brian know this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They announced they're looking for a... they're casting the lead role this week. And I think when you hear the project, naturally, my name came up.
It's just, that's what every one of us
is. Yeah, if you hear this, it's a biopic. It's one of those you know, documentary, fictional, rather, stories of entertainer's life.
Roland,
you're gonna the movie?
No, it's not Roland the movie. Grazer announced to RollingStone.com this week he hasn't decided if he wanted to cast a star as James or find an actor who can sing and dance.
And James.
So, yeah, James Brown. James Brown. Legendary godfather of soul, James Brown.
And you want to play James? Well, you want to play James Brown?
Look, I don't know if I want to play it, but I think I have to. I think it's pretty much
dead ringer.
It's one of those situations where the perfect marriage of actor and character comes along once in a lifetime. And when people think James Brown, godfather of soul,
that's true.
It's pretty much me they envision when they think of
it. So this character. This Tina Fey has to be Sarah Palin. There's no other option.
Exactly.
It's that sort of a thing. It's just hand in glove.
Right. You think James Brown.
Aren't you. But
isn't it.
You can do that.
I can do that.
Aren't you.
Get out
a
the
little,
good foot.
But, Ralph, I don't want to rain on your parade or anything, but
sounds like you're throwing up now.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm still honing the character, Kevin.
I see.
You don't just jump into the role of playing an icon, a legend.
I would think
and,
you could.
Boom. Oh, I was at 30 seconds in. Oh, he's got it down. You know, it took a while for Jamie Foxx to learn how to play Ray Charles. You know what I'm saying? It takes you a little while to get into the skin of that person.
Are you going to play him for the 6 months when he was dead before they buried him?
No, I will not be playing that role. I'm going to show his meteoric rise throughout the world of soul and R&B.
All right.
I don't want to suggest that you're not a good choice.
I got a brand new bag.
I'm not saying that. But
you sold me.
Thank you,
that
Kevin.
Somebody
Thank
needs
you.
To point out the obvious discrepancy here in that I don't know that
I'm
you
too
can
tall.
Play.
I'm too tall.
Well, no.
He was a little
you're
smaller than I am. I'm a little big
from
for James. But.
Pennsylvania, he's from Georgia. Can you play Southern?
I think so. I think so. I've got range.
Okay. If you think you can handle it.
I see this whole project just tilting on whether Ralph does it or not.
Yeah, they're just
Ralph
waiting
does
for my phone
it,
call.
They do it. Ralph doesn't do it, they
I got to get off the air because I got to make a phone call over to Brian Grazer.
I hear you.
They may pull the plug on the whole thing. Mick Jagger, by the way, is the co-producer because he said he was a huge James Brown fan, studied him for years, and stole his moves. When he became lead singer for the Rolling Stones, he used a lot of James Brown's moves. Incorporated them into his own shtick and made him a great frontman for that band. Anything ringing true yet?
Well, I think keep working.
Another biopic in the works just announced today. Al Pacino and Brian De Palma are working together once again after having done Carlito's Way and, of course, the classic Scarface together. Their third film will be called Happy Valley, a feature film about the controversial Penn State football head coach Joe Paterno. Can you imagine Pacino as Paterno?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you go back and look at photos of him as Dr. Kevorkian from that HBO film he did called Jack, you say, yeah, there's Paterno right there practically. Just put a hat on him.
In Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday played the coach in that film too, yeah.
But hey, that was me, everybody.
Kevin came up with a fact. That's nuts.
Of any kind.
Of any kind. Pacino, of course, will soon be seen in the HBO film's upcoming Phil Spector. Well, he will play the legendary music producer who, of course, went to jail for killing that broad.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Dr. Drew says, let's not judge him too fast. He's probably a pretty good guy.
Probably a good guy. Yeah.
That's what Drew says.
Look.
It's not what Drew says.
He wants to give Lance Armstrong a break. Who are we to say otherwise? Maybe the people who Lance's lives were ruined.
Berated, yes.
Just them.
Maybe them. And Britney Spears, I mentioned yesterday that she was in talks with Caesar's Palace to become an artist in residency there, to sit down at that casino for the next 2 years and just exclusively play at their theater.
But the number you quoted has to be false, so you're here to make an apology.
It wasn't outrageous. I do apologize.
Ralph is here to apologize for that story.
I said at the time that she was ready to ink a $200 million two-year deal with Caesars.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That'd be
$100 million a year.
That's ridiculous.
For about 80 performances a year. So she'd be making well over $1 million a performance.
And I'd like to say the rest of us called you out on
yes,
that.
Yes, you did.
Ridiculous.
You said that can't possibly be true, and it turns out it is not true.
All right. Apology accepted.
It turns out that there are three Las Vegas casinos currently in a bidding war to have Britney Spears as their headliner. And the $200 million price tag I quoted yesterday is just the beginning of that bidding war.
What?
So there may be a chance she will make well over $200 million for
That's
2 years.
That's the starting bid?
Yes. As these three casinos bid amongst each other to see who can snag Britney Spears as their headliner.
Isn't it bizarre how she was almost out of showbiz?
Done.
Yeah.
And now she's looking at more than $200 million for only 2 years.
For 2 years' work.
Wow. Lip syncing is good business.
It really is. You can shake your ass and lip sync, people. You got a future in this business.
I just wonder if Kevin Federline is sitting in a trailer park in Fresno right now going, why didn't I just behave? Why didn't I just stay in line?
How bad was it really when I think about it? I could have toughed it out a little bit longer. And since we're talking about Vegas, Hollywood Reporter says that Canada's Cirque du Soleil are cutting back on their staff. They're letting go 400 people in their organization, mostly at the headquarters in Montreal, as the circus company is restructuring due to lackluster ticket sales for their shows, including Viva Elvis in Las Vegas and their latest show, Iris, which played here in Los Angeles for a while. The millionaire founder, Guy Lelibertaire, he's not hurting too bad. He just bought himself a vacation package for 11 days in space.
What does that cost?
A mere $35 million, Lisa.
Oh, I didn't know it was available.
It isn't yet, but he's on the short list of people who have already signed up for the 11-day space travel package.
I think
for $35 million. He says he's not interested in selling the business. He's just restructuring, maybe so he can buy more space time.
I think by day two, aren't you just like, yep, here I am?
There sure is the Earth down there, still blue.
You know what's on the other side? Space.
A lot of stars out here, sure are. Hey, you have any more of that steak in a tube that I had last night? That was tasty. Oh, that's all gone? How about the, let's see, what do you got? Chicken cordon bleu? What do you got in that tube? What's in the other tube?
And you know he's used to eating well.
Space vacations. What the hell's happening to the world?
That's people with too much money.
That's what it is. Meanwhile, 400 French Canadians who can put their ankles over their ears are out of work now.
But there are other options.
That's true. If you got that talent, who knows? Some of those women are very bendy in that Cirque du Soleil thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Molina from The West Wing. Played Will on that show. He was also in Scandal as we speak. Very talented guy. I missed that West Wing show.
Yeah, that was great.
Boy, that was a good show. Have you seen any of the short films they've made, the reunion films?
No.
No, I haven't.
They're on Funny or Die's got one. Another one was on YouTube. It's they spoof sort of the walk and talk they used to do all the time down the hallways of the West Wing.
Yes.
One was for walking as exercise. They put it together. And another one was for a candidate for the Michigan State Supreme Court.
Huh.
They did a sort of a political campaign commercial for her, and the entire cast got back together in union. Very funny stuff. Anyway, Josh Molina is 47 years old today. Betty White turns 91. James Earl Jones is 82. Maury Povich is 74. Muhammad Ali celebrates his 71st birthday today. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 54. Jim Carrey turns 51. First Lady Michelle Obama is 49 years old. My buddy and an excellent film director, DJ Caruso, celebrates his 48th birthday today. Naveen Andrews from Lost, The English Patient, is 44. Kid Rock is 42. Someone wrote me an email saying, can you call yourself Kid anything at 42? Really? Shouldn't he be Man Rock now?
Yeah, makes sense. It's possible.
Zooey Deschanel from New Girl. How adorable is she? 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, a huge show, Movie Beat, because it's Friday. We are going to talk to Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh.
About Broken City.
My co-star from Ted? My son, Mark Wahlberg.
Your son, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Comedian Eddie Pence will
be on
the
program. Remember you? Will he know the name at least, Mark Wahlberg?
I don't believe he will.
No. Okay.
Cousin Sal will be on the show telling us his NFL picks. He was 3 out of 4 last week, by the way.
Yeah, second week in a row. He's predicted 3 out of 4 for the playoffs. Pretty good stuff.
We have your Muse tickets.
As the number of games gets lower, his odds
three
get
out of
higher.
Four is pretty good, though.
I'm just saying.
You can make money listening to Cousin Sal. That's the point.
Yeah, not during the regular season, you can. Trust me.
The final
countdown.
The final fringe is tomorrow night.
Oh, I know. So
series
finale. Alphas gets canceled. Fringe is going away. What am I going to watch?
We got Joshua Jackson from that show on tomorrow morning's show, and Kevin Bacon from The Following.
That's what you're going to watch.
That's what I'll watch. I'll watch The Following.
All tomorrow morning, along with LaQuisha, taking a look at Buck Wild. So good times tomorrow morning on a Kevin.